global objective of World War III? What's the global objective of World War III? I think most of us could pretty well answer that. Three things that come to mind. There is an objective to World War III. We are in World War III right now. It may not end up being a full-on nuclear war, but we're in World War III. Make no mistake about that. The big story today, certainly one of them, is about Vladimir Putin. He hasn't looked well in some time. I think many of you have noticed that. There have been plenty of stories about it. He looks bloated, which is probably the result of some kind of chemical intervention or attempt. He may be sick with cancer. We don't know for sure, but certainly they're not going to announce it. They'll announce something after his surgical procedure. There was a story in the New York Post today, headline, Vladimir Putin to undergo cancer surgery, transfer power temporarily. And then a second story, Nikolai Patrushev could be in charge should Putin be sidelined with surgery. Who is Nikolai Patrushev? Very hardliner, former director of the FSB, I think 10 years, has Putin's utter confidence, will not play games, and it looks like if Putin is laid up for a while, he's got somebody to follow his wishes. Very well. Mitchell Henderson, where are you? How are you?
How are you doing tonight, Jeff?
Overwhelmed.
Your little story about Putin there just brought up this is just trivia, but in 1953, when Stalin died, the Communist Party was trying to keep it secret. They didn't want the people in the Soviet Union to know that he died. So the first person in the West to find out that Stalin was dead was a guy who was doing a signals intelligence intercept of Russian radios and stuff, and he's the first one in the West to know. So he knew that Stalin died before people in the Soviet Union knew that he died. He knew before any of our political leaders knew. Do you know what that guy's name was? Johnny Cash.
Oh, come on.
I'm serious. Johnny Cash.
That's funny.
He's the first guy in the West to know that Stalin had died.
Did he ever write
a song
about that?
He's the one who told everybody else. No, I don't think he wrote a song about it. I don't think he wrote about his Army days, you know?
That would have been
or
funny.
Or Air Force days. I forget what it was in. Yeah, I think so, too. The thing is those guys, when they get that job, like their bosses can talk about it, but they can never talk about it again in their life. They'll never say what they heard and stuff because
he could have done a great song. I knew Stalin died before the Russians did. That's good.
I think so.
Let's see what happens.
Yeah,
he doesn't look well, Mitch.
It's hard to say. I don't know. He's about my age, I think. So I don't like to hear that he's not well.
It sounds ominous
for me.
I'm suspicious of any world leader that gets sick. I just am. It's too damned easy to give somebody cancer. And I tell you that after having watched this situation for a long time, they can put it on your car doorknob, on your front door. It goes right through your skin. It's nano stuff. Anyway, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Well, the people trying to establish the one world government, they have lots of tools in their arsenal. They have people everywhere in every government. Okay. So the global objective of World War III is to create a one world government under control of an enlightened world leader. In general terms, this seems like a new effort, and the globalist elites are responsible. In Christian terms, this has been man's goal from the beginning of civilization, and the Pharisees and Sadducees, morphed by the Babylonian Talmud into Zionism, are responsible. Okay. It is an ancient objective, first detailed by the Jewish tribes in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, where man rebels against God and becomes, quote, as gods, knowing good and evil. The goal was to become God. In chapter 4 of Genesis, it talks about man rebelling against nature and detailing how nature put everything we needed here for us, but we wanted more. The agricultural revolution of Cain, but about man's slavery to other men, and the use of violence to protect property. We are taught that the agricultural revolution was created by man domesticating wheat. The current most prominent Zionist philosopher, Noah Yuval Hariri, says that wheat domesticated man, not the other way around. This is typical of scientific Marxism or dialectical materialism. Blame an object for the evils that men do. We see this daily in our world. Firearms kill people, not people. Food makes you fat, not people overeating. Just like Adam and Eve, Adam blamed Eve and Eve blamed the snake. Okay? There's nothing new. It's been going on for a long time. In Genesis chapter 11, it speaks of the prototype of the one world government, the Tower of Babel. All mankind tried to unite into one kingdom, the Tower of Babel. The word Babel is actually Bab-El, which in Semitic means, Bab means gate and El means God, so Babel means gateway to God. And the nuance here is that it's man that's God. It's man celebrating himself by building the tower. Okay. So, it's a false God. Okay. The false God of humanism. So God is reported, God's reported response was, and I quote, well, I'm not quoting God, I'm actually quoting the Bible to be precise, but now then, these are all one people, and they speak one language. This is just the beginning of what they're going to do. Soon they will be able to do anything they want. For example, men can decide to be women, and women can sacrifice their babies before Moloch for material gain and comfort to pursue hedonism without consequence. It is normal to be a protophile. We can alter the genetics of humans to gain obedient people. The COVID vaccination was meant to make us obedient and clueless. Nothing is sacred, moral, or even decent. Humanity has returned to its beginnings. It is playing in feces and loving it. We elevate sexual perversion to dignity and demote sexual morality to an undignified and ignorant status. If you are sexually moral, you are a loser in our modern world. So the first iteration of this life philosophy was called humanism because it worships human. For the first 500 years of humanism, it was, quote, man's struggle against nature, which strategically became environmentalists when nature no longer scared people. Environmentalism has meant to scare and scam people with fear of man's conquest of nature and its allegedly horrific consequences in climate change. Fear is the currency of control. In man's hubris, we want to micromanage the lives of all humans without exception, and the pretext for this control is the Green New Deal and the consequent Great Reset, where you will own nothing and be happy. That is not the World Economic Forum's prediction. It is their command, and we must obey. Instead of God unleashing plagues and wars to humble mankind, globalist elites create and unleash plagues and wars to make humans suffer and obey. So the global elites are actually visiting us with plague after plague, and Bill Gates even announced a more deadly plague is coming, and you know, we can take his word for it because, well, he makes it and releases it. Man has erased God, so man must pay for the evils that they do. When did people start noticing this? Well, I tried to look back and see if there were people that kind of caught on to what was going on. And, well, there's lots of examples, but let me just give you one. In 1984, Ian T. Taylor, a metallurgist and inventor, wrote a book called, quote, In the Minds of Men, Darwin and the New World Order. 38 years ago, he wrote, quote, virtually everyone who reads these words at one point had to endure the public education system. Some, no doubt, quickly caught on to the fact that educational success is a result of regurgitating opinions and statements that conform to the doctrines of the system. Others may have rebelled at the lack of opportunity to question that which they very often is mere dogma masquerading as fact. The humanistic reasoning that runs throughout most of the natural and social sciences. It closes by showing that the evolutionary viewpoint provides support for many of the social ills of today, and on a world scale is responsible for the political drive towards one world government. This, according to the declared humanist objective, is mankind's destiny. Okay, that was written 38 years ago. I think it makes more sense to people now because we're seeing it. It's being laid bare for us.
Yeah.
Okay. So there was always double talk about Darwinism. It stated that the fittest survived, but he meant that nature decided who was the fittest. So really, those who survive are the fittest. It is misleading to say that the fittest survive because survival is the standard that determines who survives. Okay. So nature makes that determination. Humanists quickly decided to warp this obvious truth to say that we humans can decide who is fittest, and nature is supposed to conform to that. The truth is that people cannot wade through the complexities of what makes one person survive and another person perish and determine who will make it and who won't. This came home to me in policing. I, like anyone, would assume that the big, buff, handsome guy will show courage when the bad things happen. But the actual men of courage turned out to be small, scrawny, and even nerdy guys. These men would have your back to the end. The big, buff, handsome cops were cowards and would run away, leaving you in the lurch. Madison Avenue and Hollywood would have you believe different. They are humans trying to define who the fittest is. It makes women to be attracted to the least fit men and ignore the truly fit. The lies that those that believe them are engaging in is de-evolution. They're weakening the gene pool. Chads and Tyrones are usually cowards. Hell, they beat women, which is, to me, a definition of cowardice. Years ago, I went to the Chapman School of Seamanship. They brought in a SEAL team for a one-month course. These were scrawny men of slight build, but had two qualities that Hollywood misses, endurance and tenacity. They will not quit. It wasn't what we expected. We expected Hollywood, but we saw truth instead. So World War III is the war to see who will run the one world government and who will be the enlightened world order. The USA wants to be the leader of the new world order. Even Biden has said that. Can you imagine the pedophile Marxist dictator Biden as leader of the world? Yeah. Neither can Russia, India, China, Iran, and over three-quarters of the world population. The European Union wants this job. I can even think that they are playing America. They're going to ruin America, and they're going to come out on top. Specifically, Emmanuel Macron. I have family that lives in France and are French citizens. They say the re-election of Macron was a rigged election.
Emmanuel
Jean-Michel? Yes,
they found 3 million votes for three or five for Le Pen. They weren't even counted. They were thrown away. Somebody found them. It was a huge cache of votes for her.
Well, the French are aware that it's a rigged election. Yeah. It's everybody hates Macron in France. How could he possibly be reelected?
Correct.
Emmanuel Jean-Michel Macron is a man on a mission to be president of the world. After all, it is his very name. Emmanuel means God is with us. Jean means grace by God. Michel means who is like God. And Macron means the mark. Sounds like a prescription for Antichrist. Even the Israeli Zionist newspaper Haaretz published, quote, Macron is the Messiah. He was trained as an investment banker
please.
At the Rothschilds Bank.
Yeah, I know. He's one of Herr Schwab's little global leader camp boys, too.
Yeah, it could be anybody. I mean, it's going to shake out in the end, whoever's going to be the leader. I can't predict that right now. So on May 1st, there were 250 violent demonstrations against the rigged election of Macron. These were violent demonstrations where they set shops on fire, torched cars, buildings, et cetera, et cetera. So our November 2022 election should give the Republican Congress, and neuter Biden's satanic plans. But I would predict now that Democrats will get a solid majority in Congress this November. This is for two reasons, because they will be rigged elections and because Republicans will never do what is necessary to win. The Marxist Democrat motto is to get and retain power by any means necessary. The motto of the Republican Party is to self-sabotage their efforts to get elected. It does not matter what you believe in if you are not in power. For example, they could crucify Biden over Ukraine, but instead Republicans support him. Republicans will never take advantage of a crisis, even if it's the right thing for the nation. Okay? So I'll still vote for him, but, you know, gosh, they need to step up their game. Okay.
Hey, look, I think China, it's time, Mitch, hold on, excuse
yeah.
me. Honestly,
no,
isn't it time for all men and women of sound mind and body to stop voting on any national election, even regional election? I think local, might have a chance, but come on, it's a joke.
I think everybody should go vote in 2022. The more people vote, the more obvious the rigged election will be.
Well, what good does it do? I mean, we know that. Look what happened.
Well,
there's still
people who doubt it. There's still people who think that Trump is actually still in charge. Okay, so what people think and what people's perceptions are is broad. Okay.
Well, what I think of when I think of Trump is those poor men and women who are still rotting in solitary confinement over a year after that son of a bitch walked out on them. And he did.
Oh, yeah.
He turned his back and let him rot. That man is scum.
Well, you know, he had a Republican Congress for his first 2 years. Let me ask you, where's
the
wall?
What good did that do us? The midterms. We're going to take back the House.
Right. So he didn't come through on his promises. People can't see that. All it was 4 years of turmoil and distraction while the Zionists perfected their plans that we're seeing now. And we're going to suffer horribly in the next few years for those plans that we allowed them to make.
Okay? Absolutely.
So Russia and China are fighting against this one-world government. They want to strangle the New World Order in the crib. While religion may be the foundation of such schemes, those who oppose it are just using reason. China is an atheist state, and Russia is a Christian state. They are tired of being bossed around by a bunch of immoral, sissy Westerners, okay, because that's who we elect to be our leaders, immoral sissies, okay, and that would include Republicans also. As the struggle for the New World Order proceeds, there will be overwhelming deception. The USA hired, trained, and equipped al-Qaeda to unleash Islamic terrorism to start the Great Replacement. Muslim refugees spread throughout the world. Arab Christians were just exterminated. The U.S. would not give them refugee status. Did the CIA create Islamic terrorism? Yes, they did. How do I know? Because I was at the CIA when they were doing this. I know it personally and firsthand. Next, they had to implement the Great Reset. The USA created a man-made virus to infect all of humanity, to kill economies, to kill people, and to start operant conditioning. Let's see if we can make them obey really stupid orders like wearing a mask, social distancing, and the ultimate obedient test, taking the kill shot. The vax itself makes people obey. So in January 2021, the next stage of the Great Replacement began. The pedophile Marxist dictator Biden said that the greatest threat to America was white supremacy. For the past couple of years, most terrorist attacks have been on whites and Asians perpetrated by black men. And they're not even called terrorist attacks. this gets brushed off. January 6th and the attempted kidnapping of Governor Whitmer in Michigan were clearly done with FBI agents provocateurs. Can the FBI talk you into committing a crime, help you do it, and arrest you? Yes, they can. Legally, they can.
How many have they done?
I'm sorry I can't go into that about how they can do that, but they can do that. Okay? There would be more of this terror going on if not for Russia invading Ukraine. You see, just as the CIA recruited and trained Al-Qaeda, the CIA established the Azov Battalion to train Western white supremacists who were to come home and, with CIA and FBI help, wreak white supremacist terror on the homeland. Who is training them? The U.S. Army trained them, even though Congress forbade that in 2017. Our government does not obey the law. British, French, and American soldiers have been training them since 2014 and are there with them now. This is why the Avastol factory will not surrender to the Russians. They have been murdering Russian civilians since 2014 and do not want to get caught. They are trying to exfiltrate slowly because they cannot afford to get caught. How do I know this? By talking to the very men who trained them. The white supremacists that we have been warned against are all a creation of the U.S. government, who the whole conception is a creation of the U.S. government. Okay? It is the goal of our political class, both Democrat and Republican, to provoke thermonuclear war with Russia to wipe out 90% of Americans within 1 year. There are millions of third world peasants that are trying to get across the Mexican border. Those are the subjects of the global elite want for America. It is accomplishing the Great Reset and the Great Replacement at the same time. The only fly in the ointment is that NATO is not united. Croatia has said that they will vote against Sweden and Finland joining NATO because if they joined, Russia will invade Finland and the war could escalate to a nuclear war. No NATO member may be kicked out, and all NATO members must approve another nation to join. Let me tell you more. The Orbán plan, okay? Early in the conflict, Viktor Orbán, leader of Hungary, went to talk to Putin in Moscow. Actually, Pravda revealed the plan, but I double-checked with my source. You see, at the end of World War I, Austria-Hungary fell apart, and the Soviet Union ended up with territories taken from Eastern European nations. By the end of World War II, the absorption was complete. These lands are Eastern Europe. These lands are now a part of Ukraine, and the Ukrainians treat the people in these lands like dirt. Orbán suggested that as Ukraine fell apart, Romania should take back Bukovina, Hungary. These are the old names for the places. Hungary, the Carpathians, and Poland take Galicia from Ukraine. On a modern Ukrainian map, the Orbán plan has Poland taken Volyn, Rivne, Ivano-Frankivsk, and Ternopil provinces. Hungary will absorb Zakopetia province, and Romania will absorb Chemnivitsky province. That will leave 11 landlocked provinces to make up Ukraine. However, the Russians must have all of the provinces on the Black Sea coast, and they want all east of the Dnieper River. They want the river as a boundary. Does this sound like the pedophile Marxist dictator Biden has unified NATO, as the mainstream media has repeatedly stated? Turkey has refused to take part in the next NATO exercise. The USA has sanctioned Turkey before, which is exactly why they declared their neutrality in this war. The world is weary of America's disruptive sanctions. Sanctions are simply a way for the USA to steal the possessions of countries or people they do not like.
$300 billion stolen from Russia over the weekend.
Yep. This past week, Kherson province declared its independence from Ukraine. It is wholly within Russia's control. So, let me go to military progress in the Ukraine war to date. Okay.
Before you jump there.
Okay.
The river is a natural boundary.
Yes, I
assume that river goes all the way to the Black Sea. It doesn't look like it on the maps, but it does. And therefore, it's a vital corridor of moving agricultural products, other products back and forth to the seaport. So if that were the boundary, would they share it? Whose ships would be allowed to go up and down the river?
Well,
it's pretty wide in places, too. Yeah.
Because they're going to have control of the entrance to the Dnieper River.
Ah, there you
That'll
go.
That'll be within their territory. So then they're looking at it as a natural boundary, okay, to help them militarily.
Understood.
So what you read in the Western media is fiction. Deception is critical in war. The best deception is to feed the enemy what their personal biases lead them to believe. That's why Russia is not making a big effort to counter our absurd propaganda about the war, okay? Because, well, if we want to think that they're weak, that's good for them, not bad for them. It's better to be underestimated than it is to be overestimated in a fight, okay? The Ukrainians thought very strongly that the Russians would invade Odessa and Kiev first while pushing against the entrenched Ukrainian positions in Donbass. So what did the Russians do? They made feints at Odessa and Kiev. They did preparatory fires on Odessa but did not land troops. Many Ukrainian units flooded into the area for an attack that did not materialize. Ukrainian troops are now attacking places in Transdniestria, recognized as a sovereign nation of Moldova. They made an attack towards Kiev to draw away Ukrainian forces to that area. While Ukrainian forces were on the move to reinforce Kiev and Odessa, they put themselves in the open and made them easy targets for Russian air power. The Russians had no intent to capture Kiev. They had allotted 40,000 troops to the attack, but they knew that 40,000 troops cannot control a city of 3 million. Russian Colonel General Sergei Rutskoy stated, "The actions in Kiev are carried out with the aim of causing such damage to military infrastructure, equipment, and personnel of the armed forces of Ukraine, the results of which allows us not only to tie down their forces and prevent them from strengthening their grouping in Donbass, but also will not allow them to do this until the Russian army completely liberates the territories of Donetsk and Luhansk." The Battle of Kiev shows clearly the difference between perception and reality. Russian troops withdrew once they destroyed most of the infrastructure of the Ukrainian armed forces, which, by the way, we Americans paid for. However, this lie is a con game by Zelensky to get the West to throw good money after bad. How many Ukrainian politicians and military leaders will become millionaires? How many will buy mansions in Miami? Zelensky already has his mansion in Miami.
He just sold his mansion on the west coast of Italy. And we got... Obama is pulling the strings on this. And we now have a $37 million... 36? 37? Who's counting? $1 million package for Ukraine. Meantime, what about all that talk of rebuilding America's infrastructure? Nothing. It's all being given away. And how much of that $36 to $37 million is going to be skimmed off by Zelensky and his Zionist cronies? Lots of
it. Almost all of it. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're dumping money and weapons into a black hole. They're being sold on the black market because you see, while we think the Ukrainians will win, and we say that in the newspaper all the time, oh, they're resisting greatly, they're doing just fine. They know they're not doing fine. They know that they have to make as much money as fast as they can, so when they have to flee the Ukraine, that they will be able to live a comfortable life in exile. Okay?
Oh, they're all set. Question, Mitch.
Yes, go ahead.
The Russians are going to have to take Kharkov and Odessa. That's within their sphere of necessity. Now, I don't know how they're going to play this, but if I were them, I would give... I don't know if this is smart. You know military tactics. I don't. But you give Kharkov 48 hours. You have 48 hours to abandon the city or surrender it, or it will be leveled. you choose. Something like that.
Well,
and you save a lot of lives. Everyone's got time to get out. And you know, they don't get out and surrender it, you level it.
But see, in war, the way war is always gone, and this started back in the Middle Ages when they laid siege to a city. They say, if we have to lay siege for a long time out here, we're going to slaughter everybody. But if you surrender now, your life can go on as usual, right? So this developed in modern warfare to a concept of, like for example, the Americans in the Philippines, when the Japanese were ready to attack Manila, well, the Americans realized that thousands of civilians would be slaughtered in this thing, tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands. So what the Americans did is they declared it an open city. They left and let the Japanese have it. Okay. So this has happened in many, many instances in many wars where the people, the leaders of the city, the leaders of the government itself take mercy on their own people and declare these big major cities open cities so that a lot of destruction is not done. Zelensky is not a human being. He will not allow any city to declare itself an open city. Okay.
Correct.
Everybody must die. Okay.
Well, he's ordered all those in the Azovstal steelworks to fight to the death. Now, I wonder how that makes the French and German and British and American officers and mercenaries who are down there. But these are formal military officers. They're active duty. And the mercs. I wonder how they feel about that. I think they'd like to get their ass out of there.
It proves that NATO's in the war. That's the problem.
Of course. Oh, I know.
So
everybody knows it.
Alive. They have to destroy their ID cards. Everything has to go. I mean,
they have to cut their fingers off. No fingerprints. Although they'll do DNA testing. It's really a foregone conclusion that in all likelihood they're going to die. They got caught. And they can't afford the PR.
Well, just to show you, let's take the United States, when it invaded Tarawa in World War II, the Japanese were extremely well dug in, and it looked like it was going to be a long slugfest. So what did the Americans do? Well, we bought up fuel trunks and pumped gasoline into the Japanese bunkers and then just lit it and cooked everybody alive, okay? That would be a war crime now, okay? But this is an interesting thing. As we listen in the news every day about how Russians are killing civilians, okay, I'd like everybody to go pick up Jessica Lynch's, or just look at Jessica Lynch's book, I'm a Soldier Too. Her doctor that treated her in Iraq, he was interviewed, and he said, well, you know, the people wanted to kill her because, you know, she was an American. And he said, you know, the Americans, when they come in, they kill everybody. They kill everything. They pigs, dogs, cats, you know, you name
40,
it.
40 nights of 40 days, 40 nights of bombing indiscriminately before we invaded.
Right. And then when the soldiers come in, they actually gun people down in the street, civilians. They gun them down in the street. So he said, is why the soldiers wanted to kill Jessica Lynch. But he reminded them that she's a prisoner of war and she had to be treated. That the Americans would do the same to the Iraqi soldiers if they were wounded and captured. So that saved her life, okay? Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't call him necessarily a biased source. I think he was reporting truly, okay, about what was going on. So in phase one of the war, the Russians inflicted fatal damage to the Ukrainian military, killing and wounding tens of thousands of Ukrainian soldiers while destroying the vast bulk of Ukraine's artillery tanks and armored vehicles. As of May 1st, the Russians destroyed 1,175 tubes of artillery, 304 multiple rocket launcher systems, and 2,671 armored vehicles and tanks. The dozens of artillery pieces that we sent them are insignificant. It's virtue signaling by politicians. It's not effective at all. Ukrainians believe their own lies and have their forces static around Kiev, while 40,000 battle-hardened forces withdrew, rested, refitted, and then sent to the Donbass for the most important objective, to kick the Ukrainians out of Donetsk and Luhansk provinces. The Ukrainians defending the steel plant in Mariupol think that they are tying down tens of thousands of Russian troops. They are not. Russia has declared victory and left a small force to surround the factory. The bulk of forces have moved to the Donbass. Evidence of this, they talk about some of the people in the plant have exfiltrated. Okay, if they had tens of thousands of troops surrounding the plant, there would be no exfiltration. So it has to be a small amount of soldiers that are surrounding the plant. Okay. Then the Donbass,
Putin said he didn't want to fly to get out of there, remember?
Yeah.
He told Shoigu, I don't want to fly to get out of there. All right. Posturing.
Yeah, so in the Donbass, the Ukrainians have no supplies, ammunition, troop replacements, air support, or artillery support. They are at a woeful disadvantage. They are at the mercy of Russian artillery and air power. There is a deliberateness to Russian maneuvers. They isolate a section of the Donbass salient and pour in firepower, then close in with infantry and armor to mop it up. Each day, hundreds of Ukrainian soldiers die, while Russian casualties are measured in the tens. Russian soldiers can pull back to refit, rearm, and rest without fear of Ukrainian attack. The Ukrainians are under constant fire and have no rest, resupply, nor reinforcements. So some people would ask, well, why don't the Russians just plow through them? Well, why do that? Why not just surround them and starve them out? Wait until they're weak, tired, and out of ammunition. That's a better time to attack. There's nothing wrong with patience in war. It's okay to be patient, okay? It saves your men's lives. Mm-hmm. So this next month, the Ukrainian forces will hit a threshold of being combat ineffective, and Russia will move in into taking Kharkov province in the north, Mykolaiv and Odessa provinces in the south, then start sweeping west to the Dnieper River. They will keep going west until Ukraine surrenders on Russia's terms. They may or may not be a Ukraine left. While Zelensky may negotiate, the Zionists Tony Blinken and Victoria Nuland want the fight to continue until the very last Ukrainian. Zionists did this before in Ukraine. It was called the Holodomor.
Holodomor.
And it took 60 million lives. That figure is very often disputed, but for the sake of the Marxists, we say it's 30 million. It was, most reports show like 60 million. Okay?
Agreed.
It's historical revisionism to bring it down in half. Okay?
Yes. Yep.
So Russia is not losing. The West cannot replace what Ukraine has already lost. Russia does not have to use nuclear weapons in Ukraine. They are winning, and they are not in trouble. Russia prepared for 8 years for sanctions. Sanctions are hurting Americans, but not hurting Russia. Russia has now declared that weapons convoys can be attacked within NATO borders. They would not say this if they were in a weak position. They know an attack on NATO soil can start a nuclear war. They are comfortable that they will win that also. I am comfortable that they will win that. Okay, so remember earlier today I told you that I was calling Ukraine free, but they had canceled it. So my contact there gave me another email contact.
Yes.
With somebody very reliable and stuff, but after I talked to you, I got a text from Boost, and they said they've extended it for another month.
Wow.
So now I have two cities.
Good job.
That area.
Very good. Very good.
Okay. Germany.
Keep in mind,
and
everybody, that Mitch has sources over there, and what he has been reporting here is as good as you're going to get. Go ahead.
Okay. So. It was Germany and France that did not want Ukraine in NATO. So Ukraine was never going to be in NATO. The war going on now is over the principle that any nation can attempt to join, even if they know Ukraine would be voted down. Tens of thousands of lives have been lost over something that was never going to happen. It was NATO's intransigence that brought us here to this point we are now. All those lives do not matter to the Marxist pedophile Biden regime. I want to assure you that your life doesn't mean anything to them either. The pedophile Marxist dictator Biden has been telling us for months that there will soon be food shortages in America. Tucker Carlson did a report with Jason Rantz about the 24 food fat processing plants that burned down since January, which works out to four times the average annual industrial accident rate for food processing plants. Okay. An email leaked from Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack to Secretary of Commerce Gina Raimondo dated April 13th said, and I quote, small isolated events won't get coverage, but will have an immense impact on inflation. People shouldn't bitch about paying higher prices. They have too much food as it is. A little combustion isn't a bad thing. On April 16th, Vilsack sent Raimondo another email saying the best way to conceal a crime is to hide it among other seemingly unrelated crimes. Okay. These are the people that in this so-called democratic country of America, okay, we supposedly gave them a mandate to utterly destroy us, to murder us. Okay. I think that's very highly unlikely. That people voted for this, okay? It's, you know, we had a rigged election. We're not a democracy, and I said on the day that Joe Biden was inaugurated, even though we were very interrupted, I said that today begins a totalitarian police state in America, okay?
Yeah.
And that's what we have. It's like they I mean, listen, they think very strategically. It's like, okay, well, we can't pass a gun law. It'll be very hard to pass a gun law because that's very unpopular. Okay. But what we can do is we can target straight white male combat veterans and we can harass them. We can put charges on them. Like if we can get a domestic violence charge on them or a felony charge on them, we can take their guns away from them. So the federal government has intentionally targeted straight white male veterans, okay? Especially combat veterans.
It's true.
They're biting the hand that feeds them. You know, they have a make-believe military now that they think can defend our country, but what they've done is a make-believe military because they're saying that we can have half of our infantrymen be soldiers, be females. Okay, that is not a good defense. That is not going to work out. You know, even everybody always says, oh, look at Israel. They have women in their military. Yes, they run like checkpoints and traffic control for the other soldiers and stuff. They are not frontline infantrymen. Okay. It's just no army really does that. Okay.
Right.
If they have any sense. Throw a female into a group of men and you have destroyed all cohesion. You have destroyed their will to have each other's backs. Now they're going to turn on each other because they're going to vie for the attentions of this woman, okay, or women in the unit. In other words,
that's genetic response. That there's no intellectual aspect at all to it. It just happens. You're right.
Sure. Yeah, the men are going to want to oppress the women in the unit. Well, when you have a squad of infantrymen, well, who gets impressed? You know, it doesn't matter. You know, it's like you have to have your fellow squad members back no matter what. You can even hate their guts and dislike them, but you will fight to the death for them, and they will fight for the death for you. We understand that contract. I even understand when I was there, I had if I got in trouble, the guy that I hated the most in the squad, I was 100% confident he would go in and lie in my favor, and he did. Okay. So, you know, that's something that a woman's not going to do. On the police department, I found out that where a male policeman may, you know, speak favorably of me, even lie for me to get me out of trouble, a female cop won't even tell the truth to get you out of trouble. Okay. So they're different. They're almost like a different species. Okay.
Well, there's no code of honor.
They're not washed with testosterone. They don't think the same way men do.
No.
They don't prioritize the same way men do. And this whole equity thing, equity is a communist concept, you know. And actually, it's worse than communism. At least in communism, they said from each their ability to each what they need. Okay. Whereas in this sort of Marxism, it's like, well, you don't even have to know how to do the job. You're just going to get the job, and because of your race, your gender, your sexuality. Okay. Communism at the end, towards the end, when the Soviet Union was falling, was characterized by people who said, well, the government pretends to pay us and we pretend to work. Okay. But what we now have is the same thing. We've got people that pretend to do the job, but they can't do the job. They don't have the ability to do the job. You know, it's very disconcerting even to older veterans, because it's like, what if you went and you got a Ranger tab, okay, and you had to work really hard for it, but then they just give it to some woman, okay? That devalues the esprit de corps that you have in your unit.
Of course, it's how you destroy the military of a nation. It's very simple. It's not
sure.
It doesn't take rocket science.
So they're doing, everything they're planning is still on track. The Great Replacement, we see that going on every day. And the Great Replacement, just to make it clear, is where capable, hardworking white people are replaced by people of color, by LGBT people, and by females who are not as good at doing the job. Okay?
Yeah.
That is what the Great Replacement is. The Great Reset is the impoverishing of everyone. Okay, if they can make us hungry and cold this winter, that's how you get obedience from people. You either get obedience or you get revolution, one of the two. Okay, in America, since so many of us are, I'm not vaccinated, but since so many people are vaccinated, I'm thinking that there won't be a revolution. You know. So my advice to everybody is look out for number one. They're telling you they're going to starve you to death. So do something about it. Get some food stored up, okay? Now, they're going to come and try to take that food from you to share with disadvantaged people, okay? But they have to come and take it from you, okay? That's where the fight will come in, okay? So It's just like drawing red lines. Every American needs to draw a red line. They need to say how far they will let the government go. Are you going to let them march you off to a FEMA camp? Will you allow them to do that? Or does that mean when they come to you to make you do that, does that mean they're going to die? That's what you have to make the decision on. You know, who are you going to be a victim? Or are you going to make the people trying to do this to you, are you going to make them the victim? Okay. So each person has to decide this for themselves. They have to decide where the red line is. Up to what point are they going to take this nonsense? Okay. Because they're going to keep pushing and pushing and pushing and try to get more and more and more. But there's certain things, like if you allow that, if you get in a position where you have to get your food from the government, you're screwed, okay? You will go hungry. You will suffer, okay?
Weather control is another aspect of this, which we haven't talked about much, but I think most of you realize that's being used to create the coming famine. It's called drought. There's a drought, it turns out, in India, right in the wheat belt area of India. and their stores are now so low that they may not be exporting much wheat to the rest of the world at all. They got to take care of their own. So this is happening around the world. Remember, this has been planned for decades.
They have it planned in every nuance and every way. And like I said, even Gates has said that the next plague is coming soon, and it'll be deadlier than the last one. He would know because he's making them. Okay.
You got it.
They're producing them.
So, yes, sir. Superb report.
I do.
Good job.
Yep.
As always. You do what?
Okay, well, thank you. Okay, and actually my sources are getting better and better. I want to be able to see it in place one, place two, place three.
Uh-huh.
And what's
sure.
great is when what we say on this show, we're ahead of the rest of the media. You can hear things that we say on this show on Fox News like a month later. Or
you got it.
Just a few weeks later.
You're 100% correct. Yes, we're way out in front. And by the time it trickles down to the phonies and the mainstream media, you people are weeks ahead. Thank you, my friend. Talk to you next week.
You're very
Be careful.
Welcome.
Take care.
Okay,
Mitch.
You too.
Great job.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right. Mitch Henderson. You can see all of his reports up on the homepage under his columnist section. All right, that's our program tonight. Another very busy day. Back tomorrow. Take care.